नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीशुक उवाच अथैनम् आत्मजं वीक्ष्य महापुरुषलक्षणम् देवकीताम् उपाधावत् खं साद्भीता सुविस्मिता श्रीशुक उवाच अथैनम् आत्मजं वीक्ष्य महापुरुषलक्षणम् देवकीताम् उपाधावत् खं साद्भीता सुविस्मिता श्रीशुक उवाच अथैनम् आत्मजं वीक्ष्य महापुरुषलक्षणम् देवकीताम् उपाधावत् खं साद्भीता सुविस्मिता
Thank you. Shukadeva Uvacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Atta, after this offering of prayers by Vasudev, Enam, this Krishna, Atmajam, their son, Viksha, observing Mahapurusha Lakshanam, with all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, Devaki, Krishna's mother, Tam, unto him, Krishna, Upadhavat, offering prayers, Kamsat, of Kamsa, Bita, being afraid, Suvismita, and also being astonished by seeing such a wonderful child. Shukadev Goswami continued, thereafter, having seen that her child had all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devaki, who was very much afraid of Kamsa and unusually astonished, began to offer prayers to the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The word suvismita, meaning astonished, is significant in this verse. Devaki and her husband Vasudev were assured that their child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and could not be killed by Kamsa. But because of affection, as they thought of Kamsa's previous atrocities, they were simultaneously afraid that Krishna would be killed. This is why the word suvismita has been used. Similarly, we are also astounded upon thinking of whether this movement will be killed by the asuras or will continue to advance without fear. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Bitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate
Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I am very grateful to be back with you in New Dwarka. Thank you, Swabhas Prabhu, for giving me this opportunity to serve these illustrious devotees. And thank you for coming today. Krishna appeared like as a little baby in Kamsa's prison. And obviously these babies are very enthusiastic. But please, mothers, help everyone to hear nicely by we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna, Text 23. Very soon, we will be celebrating Janmashtami. A day when hundreds of millions of people, by Prabhupada's grace, now in all parts of the world, people of all different backgrounds, will be celebrating the birth of Krishna as it has been celebrated for thousands and thousands of years. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sorjana. One who understands the transcendental nature of the appearance and activities of the Lord is liberated from all sufferings and never takes birth again in this material world. Srila Prabhupada so kindly gave to the world the Krishna book, the Srimad Bhagavatam, so that people could understand in truth the transcendental nature of the birth and activities of the Lord. Just yesterday on an airplane coming here, I was listening to lectures of Srila Prabhupada on a tape recording. Of course, they're not tapes anymore. But Srila Prabhupada was explaining how intelligence is to understand that there are four principal problems within this creation and how to address these four problems Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. Birth, old age, disease, and death. And true intelligence is to understand how to solve these problems. Because there's no material solution to death or old age. Or however much science and medical technology advance, there's no solution to disease. In this lecture, Srila Prabhupada, he defined the material body as a breeding ground for disease. And that's the way it's always been, especially in this age of Kali. So we can treat the symptoms by getting some relief, by making our health and our youth maybe a few years more. But the real problem is we have to die. And old age, disease lead up to that. And from a spiritual perspective, an even bigger problem than death is that afterward we have to take another birth and go through it again and again and again. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. And everything we hold on to is temporary, it's fleeting. Nothing is permanent. Everything is constantly changing. But Krishna gives a very simple solution in Bhagavad Gita. If simply we understand that Krishna's coming to this world, his appearance and activities are transcendental, then we can solve the problem of death, old age, disease, and rebirth. Srila Prabhupada was explaining, it was a public lecture, and he spoke about God, and then he said, we call God Krishna, which is the most important name of God, because he is all attractive, all beauty, complete, perfect beauty, Prabhupada said. Complete, perfect wealth, strength, fame, knowledge, renunciation. Everything that attracts people in this world. And we know how people are attracted. What people do because they're attracted to wealth. Because they want to be attractive by having wealth, strength, beauty, knowledge, fame. And there are some people who really want to become attractive by being renounced. The origin of this tendency is the soul's natural attraction to Krishna, who has all of these qualities, not only unlimited, but ever increasing. This is achintya, inconceivable. The fullness, the completeness, the unlimited nature of all these qualities is Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells that whatever is wonderful in this world, all opulences, are a little spark of his splendor. If we're attracted to the beauty of this world, we cannot even imagine seeing Krishna. All beauty is included in Krishna. Perfect beauty. Navayovanam cha. He's eternally beautiful and young. And there's wonderful descriptions of Krishna's beauty in the holy scriptures. And yet his beauty is for all eternity, ever increasing. As is all of his qualities. And Krishna is so kind to the conditioned souls of this world that he makes himself accessible, especially through transcendental sound, by hearing about Krishna, his qualities, his pastimes, his holy names. We can make a connection with Krishna. And we become attracted. Param drishtva nivartate. To the degree we become attracted to Krishna, we naturally become detached from those material conditions that distract us from Krishna. And this beautiful story of how Krishna appeared in this world teaches us such invaluable lessons of what is Krishna consciousness and how to become Krishna conscious. We've read in previous chapters, Shukadev Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj, who at this stage of the 10th canto, he's going to die within a few days. So it was a very serious discussion. Today, we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in our class. But many of us are thinking what I have to do after class and when will class end. Maybe I can memorize something that I can speak to someone else in the future. And then, you know, we have so many thoughts. We may even be sleeping, which is quite common. But Parikshit Maharaj only had a couple more days to live. Every word that Sukadev Goswami was speaking was more valuable than everything material in the entire creation. Because he was very much aware that he would lose everything in a couple days. He was taking shelter, Sharanagati. He was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in that mood of surrender. Sukadev Goswami has explained how on the marriage of Vasudev and Devaki, Kamsa, the cousin brother of Devaki, wanted to make her happy by personally driving her to her new home. But when he heard that voice that the eighth child would kill him, he immediately grabbed her hair, drew his sword, and was about to sever her head. That was what kind of loving brother he was. In other words, he was only really concerned with himself. He was showing love for Devaki and perhaps feeling some love for Devaki because she was his brother, his sister. He wasn't seeing her as a spirit soul. He was seeing her from the bodily conception of her connection to him. And because her connection to him is giving him happiness, therefore he loves her. But as soon as her connection to him was not giving him happiness, he was ready to kill her in an instant. This is an extreme example of the nature of the bodily conception of life. And from this we learn that true love can only be when we understand that we are the eternal soul.
that we are beyond birth and death, that we are a part of Krishna. Aham bija pratapita, and how every living being is a part of Krishna. Sam siddhir hari toshanam, what pleases Krishna? True love is very much expressed according to what pleases Krishna. So Vasudeva somehow or other convinced Kamsa that it's not your sister that's any danger to you, it's the children. I will bring you all the children. Incredible narration of Srimad Bhagavatam. But in summary, Vasudeva brought Kamsa, the first child. And eventually, Kamsa imprisoned Vasudeva Devaki with chains and shackles in an underground prison. And every child that was born right in the presence of the mother and father, Kamsa brutally executed them. Little infants. See. As soon as Kamsa heard that cry from a child, the guards informed him, and he came running to that place, and right before them, he beat them to death. The eighth child, by Krishna's arrangement, he sent Shankarshan, or Balaram, who was transferred to the womb of Rohini in Mahaban, Gokul. And then Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the source of everything that exists. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, the source of all incarnations, appeared within the mind of Vasudeva. And like at the time of the moonrise, the sun illuminates the moon, in the same way, Vasudeva, by his meditation on Krishna, Krishna entered into the heart of Devaki and made his presence within her. Devaki became so beautiful. The source of all beauty was now taking shelter within her womb. The demigods, they all came to offer prayers. And I remember being with Srila Prabhupada in 1972 on the night of Janmashtami. And it was a really crowded little temple room with hundreds and hundreds of devotees from all over the world. And it was really hot, and devotees fasted in those days without water. I guess we still do. And Prabhupada was sitting on his Vyasasan and asked, read Krishna book. And we started at midnight. And I remember the prayers of the demigods to Krishna in the womb seemed like it was lasting for centuries. But Prabhupada just was so, like, Parikshit Maharaj, he was drinking every word as nectar. And we could understand how far we had to go, because we could evaluate how we're becoming Krishna conscious by our taste in hearing and chanting. If we don't really have a taste for hearing and chanting, that means we're still very much covered by the disease of forgetfulness, of ignorance.
And hearing and chanting is the medicine. So the demigods offer beautiful prayers. And then Srimad Bhagavatam explains this particular chapter that we're reading now. It begins with how everything became so beautiful because Krishna was about to appear. It was the rainy season. But the temperature and the cool, fragrant breezes of spring, all flowers were blooming, just like in Kartik. The essence of all the most beautiful seasons all came together at this moment. All the constellations, just for the pleasure of Lord Krishna, became supremely auspicious. And then it describes the moon. It was Ashtami, Janmashtami. That means the eighth day of the moon. But the moon on that night appeared full. Now that's impossible by astrological calculations. How on an Ashtami is it Purnima? And there's a very beautiful lesson to this. Srila Prabhupada writes that Chandra, the presiding lord of the moon, he was so joyful because Krishna was going to appear in his dynasty. And Krishna reciprocated with his joy. And Prabhupada says, by Krishna's grace, he was able to become full on a night that's not meant to be full. And ultimately, the moon is always full. It's the, you know, the Amavasya and the various waxing and waning stages of the moon is just that certain, the full moon is covered from our perspective. But the moon itself is always full. And similarly, the soul is Satchit Ananda. The soul is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. The soul is an eternal, loving servant of Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kapuno. Love for Krishna is our nature. But somehow we are covered. We are covered by the darkness of forgetfulness. So how is it that we can actually be ourselves? How could the full moon of our true nature come out from all the various coverings that are obscuring it? Only by the grace of Krishna. When we find joy in Krishna consciousness, when we find joy in Krishna, Srinbatam Svakata Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtana, Srimad Bhagavatam tells that when we actually develop a taste, a happiness in hearing and chanting about Krishna, Krishna is so pleased with that that he reveals himself to us within our hearts. Now, there's so many reasons to be miserable in this world. It's easy to complain. It's easy to find justifications and excuses to complain, to criticize, to be miserable. Because that's the way it is here. You know, if somebody throws you in the Pacific Ocean, it doesn't take too much to know that you're wet because you're in the ocean. In this age of Kali Yuga, in this material world, sufferings are there. But in the face of all of them,
taking shelter of Krishna means finding joy in whatever opportunity we have to serve Krishna. Finding joy in the association of those who inspire us in Krishna consciousness. Ramananda Rai, when asked by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the greatest suffering? Ramananda Rai said, to be without the association is the only suffering. He didn't talk about old age, disease, or death. Those things are inevitable physically. But in the association of devotees who inspire us, if we look for joy there, we'll find joy there. If we look for joy in reading Srila Prabhupada's books and discussing them with each other and chanting the holy names and rendering service and coming and standing before, dancing before the beautiful forms of Rukmini Dwarkadish, if we look for our joy there, and we find joy there, then Krishna's pleased. That's an act of surrender. And by His grace, the fullness of our true nature is revealed. In this way, because Chandra was joyful for Krishna's appearance, by Krishna's grace, he became a full moon. And why was Chandra shining so beautifully as a full moon? Just to please Krishna. That's reciprocation between the Lord and His devotees. Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard how when Krishna appeared from the womb of Devaki, it's a very inconceivable concept. And Vasudev offered beautiful prayers to Krishna. And in his prayers, he expressed how Krishna's all-pervading. There's one God, but that one God has inconceivable potencies. Achintya Shakti. Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhishma, the great Mahajan, that there is one sun planet in the sky, and yet that sun planet is simultaneously shining on everybody's heads. Now, on a cloudless day here in Los Angeles, how many tens and millions of people's heads is it shining on? What to speak of all over the world. But yet the sun remains one. In the same way, that same one Krishna, Bhagavan, he manifests within the heart of every living being. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriday sharjanatishtati. As the Paramatma, Krishna is seated within the heart of everyone, sitting just beside the Jivatma, the true self of who we are. So Krishna is in the heart of everyone. But because Devaki, it is described, was of the same nature as Krishna, she had the same purpose of Krishna. Krishna revealed himself to the world through her. This is quite a fascinating concept. Krishna's within our hearts, everyone's hearts. And when we have the same purpose as Krishna, the same nature as Krishna, when we surrender to Krishna in that spirit, then Krishna within our hearts reveals himself to the world. As Vasudeva was praying, Krishna was manifested before him in a beautiful forearm form, holding the conch shell, the Sudarshan chakra, the
club and the lotus flower. And Vasudeva was completely astonished. He's a newborn infant child born minutes before. And he has beautiful, long, flowing hair. His complexion is like a dark monsoon cloud. His eyes are like lotus flowers. He's wearing beautiful jewels, including the Kaustubha Mani, the Vaidurya Mani. He has beautiful golden clothing. This is quite astonishing. This is a newborn child, infant. In the darkness of this prison cell. We described briefly how beautiful the whole creation was when Krishna appeared. But simultaneously, Vasudeva and Devaki are in this dark, torturous prison cell in chains. Vasudeva was so happy that he wanted to celebrate for Krishna's pleasure by giving in charity, because that's the tradition. The greatest fortune in Vedic culture is to serve. When we want good fortune upon our child, we give in charity, we serve to get blessings. So he wanted to give so much with the love of his heart. But what could he give? His legs are in chains. He's in a dungeon with steel bars all around him and guards. But in his mind, he started giving tens and thousands of cows and charity and all sorts of other gifts. And for Krishna, he accepted all of that as Vasudeva intended it to be. Because in Krishna consciousness, there's no material impediment if we are sincere. External circumstances can limit us in so many ways. But Srila Prabhupada writes in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna doesn't accept just the thing that's offered. He accepts the purpose, the intent, the sincerity, and the love in which it's offered. Patram pushpam palam toyam. So literally, Vasudeva, he didn't have a single cow, but he gave 10,000 cows in charity. In his mind, that was his intent. Even if we're on our deathbed and we can't even move, if we offer our hearts to Krishna, Krishna accepts everything we give, if it's with sincerity. Material results are something that we can strive for in the service of Krishna. But we should always be aware that the material results themselves do not please Krishna. Whether we're Hanuman carrying mountains or a little spider carrying a grain of sand, if our intent is to please Krishna, Krishna sees everything equally. That's all. Whether we're making a garland, or whether we're building magnificent temples, if our intent is sincere, that's what Krishna sees. And that's what he reciprocates with. So Vasudeva had nothing, but he was giving everything. And Krishna was reciprocating fully. And Vasudeva, in his parental love, is very much worried about Krishna,
Because on one hand, he's saying that he's the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the indestructible source of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Still, in his Vatsalya Bhava, in his love as a parent, he's worried about Krishna. He's declaring that Krishna is the source of everything, and whoever takes shelter of Krishna is beyond fear. But yet he's fearful that you have appeared in this way, in the form of Vishnu. If Kamsa comes and sees you in this way, then he will certainly recognize who you are. He expresses this to Krishna. And in today's verse, Shukadeva Goswami, he's speaking just between Vasudeva's prayers and Devaki's prayers. And he says, thereafter, having seen that her child had all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devaki, who was very much afraid of Kamsa and unusually astonished, began to offer prayers to the Lord. Herein, Srila Prabhupada ends this beautiful purport. Similarly, we are also astounded upon thinking of whether this movement will be killed by the asuras or will continue to advance without fear. In the prayers of Vasudeva, Srila Prabhupada cites Hare Krishna land in Juhu, Mumbai, of how in the great land of India, he and his devotees, headed by such great personalities as His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj, they were working really hard, making such sacrifices to build this temple for Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. And Srila Prabhupada knew that there could be conflict. So when it was just a swampy little field, he put the deities of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari there and promised that we will build this temple for you. And they were just living in a little hut. It was very, very difficult situations. It was so far from Mumbai. In fact, the devotees were questioning Srila Prabhupada. It's so far from the city. Why do you want it there? It's just a swamp, almost a wilderness. And Prabhupada said that it will be the heart of Mumbai someday. And nobody could understand what he was trying to say. But even spiritual people, Prabhupada calls them Mahatmas here, so-called Mahatmas, and government people in India, they came to destroy the temple and take Krishna out. And Srila Prabhupada, for years and years and years, he was so deeply concerned for Krishna. I remember, I believe it was 1974, Srila Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan, and for a good portion of the time he was there, he was just constantly in communication with His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj and others about the condition in Mumbai. Krishna was being attacked. So Srila Prabhupada was explaining that devotees, out of their love for Krishna, are afraid for Krishna. It appears as a contradiction. But in bhakti, it's above and beyond all contradictions.
Unity and diversity is such a deep, profound subject. Unity and diversity. Abhaya Charanaravindare. Vasudeva and Devaki were completely pure people. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells that Vasudeva and Devaki was of the same nature as Krishna himself. They were expansions of Krishna as his mother and father. Why were they so afraid? They were totally fearless. But beyond fearlessness, beyond the fearlessness of birth, old age, disease, and death, there was fear on the level of an expression of their love for Krishna. It wasn't material fear. It wasn't fear of losing something connected to this mortal body or mind. Their fear was an expression of their pure love for Krishna. So it's transcendental. Beyond being fearless, a much higher, deeper, and more enlightened state of being fearless is to fear for Krishna. On this tape I was listening to yesterday, Srila Prabhupada was explaining how to always remember Krishna. And he was citing the gopis of Vrindavan. He said when Krishna would go to the pastures with his gopa friends and the calves and the cows, the gopis, they were always remembering him. And they were afraid. They were afraid that Krishna's lotus feet are so soft and so sensitive and so beautiful. If he steps on a pebble, it may cause him pain. Because they step on pebbles, and it may cause them a little pain. But they don't mind the pain for themselves. The gopis are willing to go to hell for all of eternity to relieve Krishna of a moment pain of a headache. That's their selfless love. So when they step on a pebble, they don't mind the pain. But when they think of Krishna stepping on the pebble, they fear. And they're praying, Krishna. They're praying that Krishna doesn't feel any pain. That's not fear. That's love. That's transcendental love. And Srila Prabhupada explained, whatever gopis were doing, whether they were taking care of their families, whether they were feeding their babies, or taking care of their husbands, or whether they were herding or milking cows or churning butter or cleaning, they were constantly immersed in remembering Krishna. In chanting Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's names, remembering Krishna's beauty, and sharing Krishna with each other. This is what a spiritual community is. Because in this material world, it's a very fearful place. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. Accidents. Betrayal. Abuse. Death. Disease. Terrorism. So many things are happening in this world. Heat, cold, honor, dishonor, success, failure. We can't necessarily change that. Krishna really annihilates this dream of making this world a place to be happy. From the highest planet to the lowest, they're all places where there's imminent miseries.
real happiness has to come. As Devaki and Vasudev, through awakening our love for Krishna and spiritual community, yes, there will be reversals, there will be difficulties, there will be attacks, there will be so many things, as Prabhupada is explaining in Juhu analogy. But we fear for each other. We fear for the deities. That's why we have so much nice security for the deities. We can just say, Krishna, you're the supreme absolute truth. You're the controller of all controllers. You're the source of the universal form. You don't need us. We'll just leave the doors open all night. But Krishna appears in this way so that we can be afraid for him, for his protection. And we could be afraid for his devotees. And what's the way in which we can actually express in a very positive way how to overcome that fear is we share Krishna with each other through Hari Katha, through Hari Kirtan. Srila Prabhupada, he was living in Vrindavan, in the very heart of where the Rasalila is, eternally enacted at Radha Damodar Temple, Seva Kunj. And he came to the West to bring Vrindavan and to bring Krishna to the world. And he established this movement. It's the 50th anniversary. In 1966, he established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It was a primary contribution of his life to our parampara. And like Vasudev and Devaki, his movement, which includes each and every one of us, was inevitably having challenges. And Prabhupada was, as he's explaining, we are also astounded upon thinking of whether this movement will be killed by the asuras or will continue to advance without fear. So our purpose is together to serve in such a way that we could remove that fear from Srila Prabhupada's mind, that fear which is born of his love, his pure transcendental compassion to the world. And in this way we approach Janmashtami. And I'll end with one quotation of Srila Prabhupada. He's quoting from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The six children of Devaki who were killed by Kamsa. In that prison house, Srila Prabhupada explains that these six children represent the anartas within the heart. Lust, anger, envy, greed, arrogance, and illusion. Krishna cannot take birth in our hearts as long as our hearts are filled with these six enemies. But how to get rid of these six enemies? Devaki represents bhakti, or devotion. Kamsa represents fear of material existence. When we understand the fearful condition of this material world, for ourselves, for our loved ones, for others, then like Devaki, in that situation, we sincerely take shelter of Krishna. And when we take shelter of Krishna by His grace, the lust and anger and envy and greed and arrogance and illusion are removed. And then Krishna takes birth within our hearts and manifests Himself in us and through us as we chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Ooh.